This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, salatu salam ala Rasulillah, wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the fiqh class. Today, inshallah, we will start with the book of marriage. After we discussed the book of financial transactions, Kitab al-Buyu', now we are moving to the book of marriage. And what's the reason behind putting the book of marriage after the book of transaction? Yes? It is a kind of transaction. It's a contract between two people. Then why it's not at the beginning? It's a bit of both. So it should be in the middle. If it's both. Okay, yeah, that's why. Whoever put it at the end, because they said that the other buyu', the other transactions, you need to deal with on almost daily basis. While marriage, maybe people are not married, so they don't need it. However, there are some scholars, they put actually the book of marriage in the middle, after the book of ibadat. They say this is ibadat, and this is part of it ibadah, and part of it transaction, and then the book of transaction. So it's important to understand the sequence and the reason why scholars put this chapter here and that chapter there. There was a reason for everything. They did not put anything haphazardly. So now we are moving to the book of marriage. What's the definition of marriage? What's the definition of marriage? No one knows? Yes. Why you're laughing? You did not take it in fiqh of love? The same thing? What did he give? What's the use if you look it up? That's not marriage. You have obligations towards your parents, right? And they are from your family. Yes?
Olivia, she said she just attended Love Notes, which is the new class.
Okay.
And a contract between two people to enjoy the person of one another.
That's a good definition, but it's incomplete. There is a problem with this definition. Because when you say enjoy each other, that implies you are able to enjoy someone else. However, in marriage, the wife cannot enjoy someone else, only her husband. But the husband can. That's the key here. So when you say a contract where a male and female or a husband and wife can enjoy each other, that's incomplete. That's correct, but incomplete. That's a good definition. Yeah. Well, as I said, that's a good definition, the first one, when they enjoy each other, but that contract limits the enjoyment of the wife to the husband and allows the husband to enjoy the wife. To avoid that problem, you could say this, and that will be the definition. In Arabic, they say, عقد يفيد حل استمتاع. المرأة بالرجل وملك استمتاع الرجل للمرأة. It's a contract that allows the husband to enjoy the wife and limits the wife to enjoy the husband. Is marriage a contract? We spoke about it in the class of Akhlaq. Why it is a contract? Because it starts with offer and approval. And that's what Allah called it in the Quran. That's why it is contract. Allah said about the marriage, it's not only a regular contract, it is a solemn covenant. It is a strong covenant. It is a contract. Not a regular one, but very strong. The next issue we have is the ruling on marriage. Does someone have to marry? It's not fard. Well, at least we will talk about the Shafi school of thought. Some people said yes, it is. Yes. It will always depend, but in general. When we talk about rulings, we say in general, yes. Exactly. It is recommended. It is recommended. In general, it is recommended. What if someone said, marriage will keep me busy from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So I want to dedicate my time for the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, actually it's against the sunnah. Because the people who came to the Messenger of Allah, and one of them said, I will not marry women. What did the Prophet said? Whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from me, one of from me. Yes? Exactly, that's why it is half your religion, because there are certain things only married people can do. Can you list them? Marriage could be sometimes haram, sometimes could be makruh, and sometimes mubah, 50-50, whether you are married or not. But in general, it is mustahab, recommended. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ra'd, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. And we have certainly sent messengers before you, and we have made for them wives and offsprings. So that's the ruling on marriage. Now, in order to have a correct marriage, there are conditions. What are these conditions? Ijab and Qabul. Wali. How many conditions? Five. What are they? See, as a student of knowledge, without memorizing the numbers, that's what I tried to start with from the first semester. Remember when I told you, how many obligatories in wudu? How many things that will invalidate wudu? Once you start knowing the numbers, and you know that it is four, it is five, it is... But now, you just listed two. How many more? How many? Try always to be specific. How many conditions? He said five. Do you agree? Four. Three. So we have four, five, three. Dowry, witnesses. That's what happens when you don't know the numbers. Five sounds good. Who agrees with that falsehood? Okay, there are four necessary conditions. That was close, but you may add something to the religion of Allah without being conditioned. The first condition is what? Ijab and Qabul. This is the first condition. The second condition is the wali, the guardian. The third condition is the mahr, the dowry. And the last condition is two witnesses. What else? What do you want to add to marriage? These are the conditions of...
They must be opposite sexes.
They must be?
Opposite sexes.
Opposite. You like that one? I don't like it. Because what if someone came and said they are from the opposite sexes, but she's his mother? Yeah, now it sounds weird, but people every decade, every year maybe, they are degenerating. So you want to adapt to them, you will not end, you will not stop. Yes. These things are implied. They have to be strangers. It is permissible for the free man, yes. Wallahi, I talked about this. She married a snake because I was invited once to talk about homosexuals, gay marriage and lesbian marriages. And they are saying that it is a freedom of choice. It is liberties. It is rights of... It is rights for every human being. So I said, I have no problem with this if you told me what's the limit. What's the limit? Because if a woman came today and she said, I am married to a dog, would that be legal or not? And they were shocked. I told them, I'm pretty sure there will be a time come and this will happen. And now we hear that there is a woman who married a snake. So where this will stop? Anyway, it is permissible for the free man to have three wives and for the slave to have two wives. As a free man, you can have three wives. As a free woman, how many men can you have? One? Can she have more than one husband? No. Why? Why not? Is polygamy halal in Islam? Polygyny, not polygamy. Why not? And by the way, why? Because I don't like to spend lots of time, but it's really important. Since we came here, we have to talk a little bit about it. Yes. So if she's already occupied with one child for one husband and the other husband wants a child, he has to wait for his turn. That's good. What else? Yes? How would you know? But if someone came and said DNA by the... But no, modern time. But even the DNA, they make mistakes. Here in Houston, look what happened to... criminal justice department. They accused people, and still it doesn't give you confirmation 100%. What's the correct answer? Allah said so. Again, as I told you, yes, you try to rationalize it, but from the beginning you tell them, I believe in Allah and Messenger. That's what my religion is. It proved from Allah, and then you could explain. Because if you go, again, as I told you, someone came and argued, I am free and I want to marry a man. I don't want to marry a woman. I'm a free man. So this will not stop. Why Islam allowed polygyny? That's the... And I like this question. Because I shock people when they tell me this.
To limit the amount of wives American
have. To limit the amount of wives American have. Actually, Islam did not allow polygyny. Islam limited it. Because it was allowed already. Some people, they start becoming apologetic. They start saying, the number of women are more. And you don't have to do this. Islam did not allow it. It was allowed. Islam limited it, actually. At the time of the Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before Islam, what was the maximum number of women you could have? There was no limit. Nowadays, do you believe that still some tribes in Africa, they have approximately 40 wives? The chief tribes, Islam limited that to 4 wives. One man came to the Messenger with 10 wives. So the Prophet told him, you cannot have 10 wives. You have only up to 4. So you have to choose 4 of them. These things are really important. But now when we tell them Islam limited, why? Why you can have more than one wife? The first answer, because Allah says so. And instead of going for simple details, you take them to the minor things, to the major things. Who's Allah? What is Islam? Once you believe that Islam is the correct religion, whatever comes from it is correct. Once you believe that Allah is the true God, whatever He commands is the correct thing. So you obey. But if we try to rationalize it, what do you say? Why it is allowed for a husband to marry more than one wife? It is a man's nature. Is that true? Yes, it is. MashaAllah, you are honest. You are honest.
I've spoken to Muslims who are 65 years old, and they... I actually asked them a question. Do you still have
another wife?
And they were honest. They said yes.
Okay. What is love? What about love?
What about it?
No
contradiction. Yes. Exactly. Actually, there's no contradiction. The Prophet ﷺ himself, didn't he love Aisha radiallahu anha most? But does that mean his heart was fully occupied and he could not have any love for any other wife? No. And could you accuse the Prophet ﷺ that he was not just? He loved more wives. The only thing that you cannot have other place for in the heart is the friendship, the khulla. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if I had to take from this world the companion, I would have taken Abu Bakr. But there is no place. There is place only for one, and it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for love, yes, you could have more than one love. So there is no contradiction. But again, why nowadays when they talk about polygyny, having more than one wife, why Islam permits that right? Naturally, what's the ratio? 10 to 1. I heard that and I could not believe it, but it's almost true. If you count all those people who are locked up in prison, those people who are killed, those people who are in war, yes, it is true. The number of men, women are much, much higher than men. Women are outnumbering men. This is one fact. So if only that is true, then it is sufficient. What will you do? You have many women. What would you do? Exactly. When we say we have lots of women, but you can only marry one, then what will other women do? You are telling them you cannot marry. Where they will go? And again, marriage is the nature. If women have desires and they want to fulfill them, where do they go? And unfortunately, in the law, you cannot have more than one wife. But you can have more than girlfriend. That's lawful, right? It's legal.
Yeah, because there's no law against it.
While Islam tells you, you cannot have a mistress. Because you have to provide for her. You have to be responsible. That's what Islam tells you. And unfortunately, even Muslims, they think that this is something is not good. It is from the religion. It is from the religion. And by having this, many problems will be solved. Now again, many people, you don't know them. By marriage, there will be, as Allah said, love and mercy placed. And you'll get to know other people. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلِ لِتَعَارَفُوا. But, again, the problem people, we are away from Islam, so when it comes to the marriage, again, the same thing. But here is one thing people try to say. If you say the ratio is 10 to 1, 10 women to 1 man, why then Islam did not allow more than 4? Does that mean if the number increased, like the ratio became 50 to 1, you can marry more than 10? What do you think? Yes. Exactly. So that's why, as I told you, I don't like to focus only on the numbers thing and the facts. The principal answer, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But once you have more women, then here is what will happen. You married 4. Out of these 4, there will be a mother that you cannot marry because she is the mother of one of the wives. There is a sister. There is the aunt. So even if there are 10, you cannot marry them because they will be relatives and there will be mahrams. So even if the number went high. And again, how many you can take care of? As wives, Allah knows that more than 4, you will not be just. And it will be very difficult. And people complain from one wife. Yeah. So let alone 2, 3, or 4. And we need to work on this issue. Honestly, because it's one of the problems that we are suffering from as Muslims. And when you talk to, especially the sisters, they say, yes, we believe it is from the religion, but I don't accept it for my husband. If he has to marry, he has to divorce me. He can. Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear this from some sisters. Yes, we believe it is from the religion, but not for me. Well, everyone says the same thing. What about think of others? That's what Islam teaches us. We have to think of others. What will happen to others? Where is brotherhood, sisterhood? Where is the teachings of Islam? Anyway, this issue, we can talk about it for hours. Looking at women, looking to women. Can you look at a woman?
Once.
So if you are watching TV for 2 hours, it's one look. What do you think? Can you look at women? For purpose of seeking them as a spouse. What if she was already your wife? You can. What if she is your mother? Well, again, this is the question. It's a broad question. You need to know what you're asking about exactly. Looking to women is of 6 types. 6. Again, remember the numbers. The first type, the foreign woman. What do we mean by foreign woman? From another country? Alien? Illegal immigrant? Not mahram. What do you mean by mahram?
Woman that you can marry.
Woman that you cannot marry forever. That's the mahram. So the foreign woman, the woman that you can marry. Can you look to a foreign woman? One look. So if we have bunch of women, you look here one, here one, here one. What's the answer? Give me a correct answer, accurate answer. Can you look to a foreign woman? Yes. That's my question, generally. In principle.
No.
Why? What's the evidence? Why not? Yes? Exactly. And nadratu, the Prophet ﷺ said, the illegal gaze or the illegal look is a poisoned arrow. It's not an arrow, it's a poisoned arrow from Iblis. What else? Another evidence.
One of the Sahaba
Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. He was looking and the Prophet ﷺ turned his face. If it was permissible, he would not turn his face away. What Allah says in the Quran, always look to the evidence in the Quran. If you do not find, then you go. Exactly. How could you lower your gaze if you're allowed to look? So in principle, you cannot look. To a foreign woman, you cannot look. That's the evidence and that's the ruling. Is this clear? This is the first type. The second type, to the wife. Can you look at your wife? Where can you look at? No restrictions at all? No, in the Shafi'i school of thought, there are restrictions. Yes. Yes, in the Shafi'i school of thought, you cannot look at the private part. That's the opinion of the Imam Shafi'i. Again, I disagree with it personally. I don't know if you agree or not. They say you cannot look at the private part. Khalil, do you agree with this opinion? The third, yes. Yeah. Yeah. There is a hadith, but it's weak. مَا نَظَرَ مِنِّي وَلَا نَظَرْتُ مِنِّي. He did not look at me and I did not look at him. But it is weak hadith. Because, I mean, anyway, let's move on. The mahrams. Can you look at the mahrams? Your aunt, your mother, your daughter. Okay, where can you look at? What's the awra between the mahrams? Navel to knee. Do you agree? No? What do you say? No, then what? Someone came and told you, I am living with my mother. So what can I look at exactly? You agree? That's the opinion of Imam Shafi'i actually, from navel to knee. But again, that means all the upper part, you can look at it, which seems weird to us. But what's the evidence? This is an issue that many scholars differed on. Some of them are very restricted, some of them are liberal. So this opinion, it says that you can look at anything but between navel and knee. You should always apply the customs also. خُذِ الْعَفَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. That's regarding the mahrams. Looking to a foreign woman for the purpose of marriage. Where can you look at? Or can you look at a foreign woman for the purpose of marriage? Her face. That's all. Yes. So again, what can you see? That's when the Prophet ﷺ told the companions, look to what will cause you to marry her or not. Look to what will cause you to know. Because there are no specific things here in this hadith. And that's why Ibn Hazm rahimahullah said, you look to everything. Yes, some say, again, in the Shafi'i school of thought, where do you look at? Because again, this issue is controversial.
Well, I would guess to say that Shafi'i would say that hair, face, and feet.
Hair, face, hand, feet. No, that's...
Even chin.
Even what?
Shin.
You can look only to the face and the hands in the Shafi school of thought. Only. Why? Face tells you if she's beautiful or not. Hands will give you an idea about the body, the color, the nature of the skin. Because again, subhanAllah, that's true. Even now, nowadays, if people try to change their body, and the hands still, it tells you about the body. So that's only what you could look at in the Shafi school of thought. Yeah, that's according, look, that only this is allowed. But that's only what you could show. That does not mean you could look at. But once for marriage, that's what you could look at. This is for marriage. For treatment, if a Muslim doctor and a female came to him, Muslim female, what can he look at? What do you think?
What is needed?
What is needed, exactly. Because in principle, can he look at her? No, you cannot look. If there is a need, you look according to the need only. And again, this is something in Muslim countries, they don't care about it. She's patient, so she's undressed, especially in the surgeries. And that's haram. If she has a surgery in her hand, only her hand should be shown. If she has something in her feet, in her leg, that's all what she should show. As a doctor, you are limited to what you need only. What if we have a Muslim doctor, male, and a female non-Muslim doctor? Which one she should go to? Female non-Muslim.
That was from months ago. When you think about it, you know, she may, the non-Muslim may talk about, you know, the woman or whoever, you know, she's treated. Whereas the male Muslim will kind of divulge that information.
So she goes to the male or female? Yes. Because he's a Muslim doctor, he will know her rights. Yes, okay, we'll see.
Muslim male with a non-Muslim female?
No. The patient is a Muslim female.
Okay.
And she needs treatment. Where does she go? She has option, female, non-Muslim doctor, and male Muslim doctor. Female non-Muslim. Yes. Female, yes. The rule here, there is a rule. The unity of gender takes precedence over the unity of religion. That's the rule. She goes to the female non-Muslim doctor. But again, always with conditions. Like, you know that this female doctor does not respect Islam, and she may cause so and so, or she may cause things that are horrible, so you don't go for her. But in general, that's the ruling. The unity of gender takes precedence over the unity of religion. So as female, you go to female. Because let's say someone accepted Islam. A daughter accepted Islam and her father is Christian. Does that mean she cannot show him anything? He is her father. Okay? Number 6, the last type, for testimony. documentation, what can you look at? What is needed to be looked at? What's needed to be looked at?
A wound was inflicted on someone.
Right. In testimony, you look at the face.
For identification.
But for other things, other purposes, it's just like the doctor. You look at what is needed. So these are the six types of women. There is another division, easier division, for three types only. And based on the necessity, not based on the types of women. They tell you, and I like always the brief statements, but sometimes they are more complicated. That's why I try to break it down. Looking whether for a necessity, then it is permissible according to the necessity. And they give you the example, the doctor, testimony, whatever, or marriage. Looking for a reason, like selling, purchasing. So this reason, if it's valid, then it is attached and linked to the necessity. According to the need, you look. And looking for neither a need or necessity, then prohibited. That's an easier also division. Yes? Yeah, for looking. Based on necessity and not necessity. Foreign woman, do you need to look at her? No, so you cannot. It's forbidden. Foreign woman, but you are selling and she wants to ask you, can you look? Yes, it is permissible. But you don't have to. And so this is, again, for three types from that aspect.
So this whole idea that you allowed one look,
one look, that's an exception, because you cannot help it. If we tell you, you are not even allowed to look one look, that's asking you something beyond your control, because you already looked. And when we tell you, this is prohibited. In principle, it's prohibited to look at her, but it was sudden. So that's why Islam tells you, because you cannot help it. Now, we mentioned the conditions of marriage, and we will start with the wali. Or before that, before the details, we will mention the conditions of the wali and the witness. How many witnesses you need in marriage? Two. There are six conditions for both of them, the wali and the witness. The first condition is Islam. They have to be Muslims. Number two, puberty. Can you have a witness? He is 10 years old or 5 years old? You cannot. Number three, sanity. Number four, freedom. Number five, he has to be male. Females cannot be witnesses in marriage. Number six, trustworthiness. Again, see these conditions? Six conditions. Islam. What if a girl accepted Islam and she wanted to get married? Who's her wali? The imam. Her father is there, present. He's not Muslim. Yes?
According to Shafi'i,
he cannot. Well, he can. In case of marriage of a woman from the people of Book, Jews or Christian, the wali does not have to be a Muslim. He does not have to be a Muslim. That's in the Shafi'i school of thought. Yes. And I believe that's the correct opinion, actually. Unless, of course, her father is refusing that marriage because of Islam, then that's another issue. And this could happen even to Muslims when they refuse that person just because he is a good person or he doesn't have money or whatever. It could happen. But just because he is not Muslim, I don't believe this is a sufficient reason to remove his guardianship. Why? Again, in the Shafi'i school of thought, he is still a parent. He is still caring for his daughter. And unfortunately, nowadays, automatically, once she accepts Islam, she goes to the masjid, her parents, her family does not know anything, and she is getting married. They are still her family. So we'll stop here, inshallah, and we'll continue next time with the issues of marriage. Is there any question so far? Yes.
My question.
Your question.
The issue of
polygyny.
I heard once that in this country, since they say you are not allowed to have more than one wife,
mm-hmm.
we are supposed to obey the law of the man. They allow us to come here. We came here. If we're immigrants, we came here, and we agreed to follow their rules, so we're supposed to follow their rules.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you don't apply Islam, which is optional thing. Now, polygyny is optional. It's not mandatory. But since you accepted not to do it by the law, you should not violate it. That's why I'm telling by law here, and anyone comes to me and tells me I want another wife, I tell him, fine, but by law it's prohibited. You cannot do it. And we cannot do it, actually. Legally, you cannot write another contract. But many people, what they are doing, it's just like, can you have a girlfriend? Yeah, so you do it this way. But between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she is your wife.
But the other reason for saying that, he said, was because she cannot really get all of her rights.
No, she can.
Because you can't legalize
it. She can. She can because even if you die, she still has rights. And you can attest to that, and she will get her rights. And even in marriage, like, here's the thing, and we did not discuss it because we cannot discuss everything. If the wife voluntarily says that she doesn't want this right or that right, that's acceptable. Just like Sauda radiallahu anha, she told the Prophet ﷺ, I'm giving you my night. So she took, Aisha radiallahu anha took the night of Sauda. That was a right for one of the wives. So you could voluntarily give up some rights. Yes?
Olivia, what is the ruling of women looking at men?
Women looking at men. In principle, it should be the same. It should be the same. Because that's what Allah says in the Quran. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze, and tell the believing women to lower their gaze also. Yes? Non-Muslim woman in front of non-Muslim woman.
No, Muslim woman. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is the same. Again, some scholars actually, they differentiated. I don't see any evidence. She's a woman and she's a woman. What's the aura between Muslim man and non-Muslim man? Is it different than Muslim man, Muslim men together? And if there is non-Muslim men, it's the same. Yes. I know the reason, but I said I don't see an evidence. That's a reason, but that's not an evidence. When they say that she may go and describe, a Muslim woman may go and describe. teaching. It depends. Is this teaching needed or it is necessary? Sometimes it is necessary. I believe what we're doing is necessary. It's not only needed. But sometimes it is needed. Like she needs to pay. She needs to provide for her family or whatever. In order to do that, she needs to be educated. So she's going and she's learning.
Like for instance, some people would criticize a lot about different classrooms, like at Maghrib, whatever, or different other kinds of institutions, that, or like this, mm-hmm. in which there is no barrier. They say that this should not happen. This should not go on. It's improper type of looking.
I disagree with this. Why it's improper? Yes, I may say it's not the perfect method, because if we have bigger facility where we have separate classes, yeah, that's better. And statistically, achievement will improve when women are alone, men are alone. And it's proven in schools. Like when you have both genders, while when you have segregation, it's much more. But even at the time of the Messenger, they were not separated. Yes, they were different. But nowadays, I'm not saying that's better to be together. But there is no evidence that you have to separate them. Yes, if we could, we should do it. It is better. But give me the means and I'm willing to do it. Okay, we'll stop here, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.